do speak into our hearts. That your word, we pray, that your word may do its work as is in your heart. Your will may be done in us and among us. Lord Jesus, we want to experience that the Spirit builds us up and glorifies you in your churches. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, praise the Lord. It is really something special to come together in this manner. I can see that we are more than 450 participants in this online meeting from different languages. And we are able to take part, all of us. We still have to exercise.
Alles, ja, gut funktionieren, besser und besser. Heute machen wir den Anfang, wir lernen dazu. Wichtig ist, dass der Herr zu uns reden kann, dass er in uns reden kann und dass er durch uns und unter uns sprechen kann. Ja, wir leben von dem Sprechen unseres Gottes. Ja, es ist nicht, dass wir irgendwie nur Wissen ansammeln wollen oder austauschen wollen, sondern wir möchten, dass Gott zu uns spricht. Und ich denke, er wird auch in diesen Tagen zu uns sprechen. Ja, wir haben als Thema...
Yes, can you hear me again? Sorry, that was a technical problem.
Yes, we hear you.
Okay.
Wir üben gemeinsam, dass wir das hinbekommen.
Ja, we...
The headline
meeting
says that we may be one as the Father and the Son are one. There is an outline in English. If you haven't received it yet, please let us know.
So frei. Guck das eure. Nein, da ist irgendwo einer noch an.
Okay.
And please mute your microphone. It's the first meeting. We have a lot of chances to exercise. Okay.
This title, which we have, is a quotation from It's a quotation from John 17, 21 through 23. That's the title of the whole conference. Somebody could read that, please, in German.
Oder man kann auch jeden Vers einzeln lesen, verschiedene Geschichten.
We can read that in German right now, and I will translate it into English. That they may all be one as you, Father, are in me. That they believe that you have sent me.
So wie du, Vater, in mir und ich in dir. Dass auch sie in uns seien.
Amen. That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I also have given to them, so that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity. So that the world may know that you sent me and you loved me just as you loved me. Amen.
Amen.
These are really very important verses. When we read these verses, it's clear. It's concerning the oneness. That they may be one. This is not just a title or a subject of a conference.
I
tell that for those who are not that long believers or the young people. This chapter, John 17, is a prayer that Jesus prays to the Father just before he goes to the cross. I leave it up to you to read the whole chapter. In the center, I want to expose now these three verses. The Lord has accomplished his whole work. Father, I have accomplished your work. That's what he said in the very beginning. And he has a prayer. He has a deep desire. The whole work which he had done is with a goal. And this is expressed here. I have accomplished the work, verse 4, which you have given me to do. But now this work has to be transferred into the future, that they may all be one, who are believers. All those who belong to Jesus Christ, we all should be one. This is the prayer and the desire of Jesus. Therefore, he has accomplished the whole work. I'm not sure how this is in our conscience. You might think, well, all the Lord has accomplished on this work is that we would not perish. Yes, that is one part, but there's a much bigger desire, purpose. He doesn't pray here, say, Lord, yeah, now I have accomplished your work on this earth, and now I pray that all those who are believers would not perish. No. This is an automatic process that we would not perish when we believe. But there is one aspect of his purpose which will not be automatic. This is that they would be one. That they may be one as the Father and the Son are one. This is not happening automatically. The Lord Jesus has accomplished his work on the earth. And this is the basis that the next step of the work would be accomplished too. And this is the oneness. This is not a self-working. So often we are so occupied with ourselves that we don't think about his heart. We think, oh, it's concerning me. No. Here in this chapter 17 of John, it's concerning us, yes, but it is the desire, it is the burden of the Lord Jesus himself. What is in his heart? It is not a commandment, be one. That we should be one. He doesn't expresses any commandment, but it's a pleasing to the a begging of the Father. Please, Father, do that. And we realize the oneness which is mentioned here is really hard. It's really strongly fighting against. The enemy is working against it wherever he can, because it is part of his eternal purpose.
It's
It is concerning this oneness which we want to have fellowship about during that weekend. Where does this Lord pray for here? He is very concrete here. He's very practical here. He's formulating, it's not only that they are all one, full stop. There are many aspects of being one. Even among us Christians, I have my work, you have your work, and who wants to support my work? Yes, we're one. Or there's one interpretation of the Bible, and if somebody else would interpret the same way, okay, we're one. No. The oneness we are talking here about is the oneness as the Father and the Son are one. Even as you, Father, are in me and I in you. This is something special. This is a very high level, but yet it is practical. We have experienced it, and we will experience it even the more. We want to know this oneness. For this oneness, the Lord has accomplished his work on the earth. Everything is expressed here in John 17 is focusing on that desire. Whatever comes to the oneness, it is coming out of the Father. It is not a work which we would do out of ourselves for the Father. Let's make a work of oneness. No. We can do a lot of things, but it will never be this what the Lord is praying for here in this prayer. He has the glory, and he has given us the glory. He has given us the word coming from the Father to us. He has given us his name coming from the Father to us with this goal to be one. The source of all those things, in quote, what the Lord has given to us and has come from the Father is for the oneness. Therefore, this chapter 17 starts with, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God. And this eternal life is not concerning something in the future, but it is something which is this eternal life has appeared to us, and we want to experience this eternal life, and this eternal life should gain more space in us and room in our hearts, then the oneness is possible. If we have a problem with the oneness, we will have, it is a proof that we have a lack of life. We might have the best teaching, but these teachings will never produce oneness. The oneness has a different quality. We need the reality of our living God. Lord, show us more about this work. And I want to start, as I wrote here in the outline, with God's glory. This word glory is used several times here in this passage, verse 22. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. The glory, that means if we do not have the glory, we will have problems with the oneness. We might be correct, but we need this glory. It is not enough. Without that glory, we can't be one. I don't talk to any Christians in any groups or who are separated or divided. No, we're talking about the church life, about the oneness for which we have given ourselves and consecrated ourselves. What is this oneness about? Is it this oneness? As we are one? Everybody has to talk for himself or think of himself. It's nothing theoretical. I don't want to have a sharing tonight about theories. No. Look at yourself. Let us look at ourselves in our locality.
Übersetzen würden. Ich würde im Deutschen sagen, es gibt noch viel Luft nach oben.
There is a lot of development potential, right?
Einheit mit allen.
There's a lot of development potential in the oneness among us. Therefore, I want to describe a little bit about this glory. Because tonight we want to have a short introduction and give an overview, and the next meetings we will then enter into the different aspects. The glory is at the beginning. The glory God has given to us. I realize that I start talking and don't finish my phrases. I think if everything is perfect, if everything is perfected, then the Lord will come back. But here in John 17, I realized the glory is the basis. The glory is at the beginning. Even in verse 5, it says, this glory which I had with you before the world was. I thank you, Father, for this glory. And later on, and then he says here, this glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be just one. Verse 24, Father, I desire that also they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory. It is concerning this glory. We want to behold this glory, right? This glory will work oneness between us. And oneness between us will express this glory. This oneness expresses what the Lord has given to us already.
Die Herrlichkeit ist da.
The glory is there, but this glory wants to be expressed. Therefore, he needs us. It's not that we work something and then glory comes. No, we live out of that glory. We take hold of that glory first, and then we live through it. God wants to express a desire to reveal himself.
Hintergrund.
This is the whole background. God wants to be among us. He wants to be visible among us. He wants to reveal himself. Whenever something is visible from God, then glory will be there. with God's revelation, there is glory. If God is there, glory is there. If he just reveals a little bit, there is glory. The invisible God wants to be expressed and wants to be visible. How God does it, we see in the whole Bible. I don't want to go through the whole Bible right now, but I just want to give an overview. This glory, which is visible, started with the creation, the very beginning. I wrote down here in Romans 1, it's C1A, Paul describes people here who don't want to even receive God or accept God. But Paul says about this God, I read Romans 1 verse 19.
Was man von Gott erkennen kann.
Because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. And in verse 23, it says, they have exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Paul describes here that in the creatures, you will see something about God's glory. God has created the universe. And in this creation, outwardly, you already can see something about God's glory. And I wrote here, it's a God's testimonial. I just have to say that as in brackets. Somebody told me that probably the word testimonial is not so clear to somebody among us. It's clear, it's important when we're talking about that. We know something about testimony. You have an apprenticeship, you have school, and there is a graduation. In German, we have the same word here as testimony. A testimonial expresses, gives information about what you are, who you are. If you have a testimonial, if you have a school graduation, there's something written. If somebody reads that, he thinks of what you should be, could be. This is only a shadow. But a testimonial gives an expression about your abilities, about what you have achieved. God's testimonial, that's the same. He needs something that we can get to know him.
Das ist ja ganz vieles lesen und doch sagt es überall nichts aus.
Sometimes you can read something, but you don't know even about anything about that person. A testimonial expresses something about what you are, what you feel, and this is what God wants, what God desires, He wants something. He wants a testimony where you can realize who he is, how capable he is, how great he is, how he feels, how he thinks, what he desires, what he plans. He doesn't want to be hidden. If there is no testimony, we have a lot of concepts and meanings about God. But it's not his testimony. It's only my concept. God doesn't need our concepts. My concept can be a basis, but it shouldn't be. No. He wants a testimony how he really is. A little bit it is expressed in the creation. I want to read, write something here on the blackboard, on the whiteboard. It starts with the creation. I want to have a time line here. In the creation, you can see something about his being. He's a God of life. In the middle of the creation, there's the man. He was created in his image. Look in the atoms, look in the smallest parts, how they work together. We're still in the middle of any science, how that works. Look in this order, in this universe, how it is, how it works. It expresses something about God's being, about God's nature. Look in on the life on earth. And if there's a small part in this work, if somebody wants to change a small crack wheel, then the whole would collapse. Sometimes we go for a walk and we admire the creation. But do you remember? This creation, which we admire, it's already the fallen creation. The whole creation was involved in the big fall of Satan and his sin. The whole creation received the nature of rebellion and of death and of the perishability. But still we see a part of his glory. And then if we go on in history, we read about Noah, we read about Abraham, and with Abraham, it is expressed in the word, the God of glory appeared to Abraham. He speaks. By his speaking, he expresses what is in him. In the creation, it's not that clear, but the testimony becomes concrete if he speaks. What is his eye? What is his will? He speaks to Abraham. He speaks to Noah, he speaks to Abraham. Later on, he chose a people, his people, and even he had a tabernacle, and later on the temple, even the Ten Commandments, and the Ark of the Testimony. That's where God appeared and spoke to his people. It is among his people. He does it. Look how he conquered cities. He expresses his might, his strength. He expresses his wisdom. He is among the people.
Unter den Menschen durch sein Sprechen und durch sein Handeln. Dort hat auch ein
Through his speaking and his working, he is go to these people and you will see how he speaks and how he works. That was in the Old Testament, but we continue.
Wesentlichen Punkt. Es kommt die Zeit des neuen Bundes.
We go on to the new covenant, to the New Testament. It starts in John 1. Somebody could read that, please. John 1, verse 14 and verse 18.
Kann man jemand auf Deutsch lesen, Johannes 14?
Probably somebody in German could read John 1, verse 14.
Und das Wort wurde Fleisch und zeltete.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen.
Das Wort wurde Fleisch und zeltete unter uns.
Word became flesh.
Dwelt
among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 18. Somebody could read it. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. Now, something is changing here. Something happens new. God the Father comes in Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. He is not only among the mankind. Nobody has seen him before, but now he becomes evident through Jesus Christ. Who wants to know God has to know Jesus. There's oneness. There's a oneness there. He was not the best prophet or best teacher. He was not the one who could speak the best about God. No, he was one with the Father. He could say, he who sees me sees the Father. There's such a oneness in life. His endurance was the endurance of the Father. You see, the friendliness of the Father. He said, the Father has given me all the judgment. Everything what the Father has is in Jesus Christ. There is no gap. There's nothing in between. You cannot separate it. If you want to analyze that, we all have our difficulties. How do you want to explain that? It's a oneness. Father and Son. That wasn't there before. Everything before is compared to this oneness, nothing. He wants to have this testimony. Here is not God among men, but it is God in this man, in this oneness. And about we have to behold this oneness a little bit. Like the Father and me are one. I want them to be one. Exactly the same way. What is this? What kind of oneness is that? After his death and resurrection and his uplifting, what then? Jesus is invisible. Where is the testimony? How can you know God? Now, I give this oneness to those who believe in me. They in me me in them. My Father in me, they are in them. This is identically. That is the church. Amen. That is the church. It is not a matter of a teaching, but it is a matter of the oneness of this union. This is what the Lord desires today. That is what he needs. If God has not that oneness today, where is this testimony today? He says here in John 17, all those who believe in you through the word, right? Verse 20 in John 17. For those who believe in me through their word. It's not the oneness of the person or oneness of the overcomers. No, they all, right? That they may all be one. All. It's not an elite group. It's not a separate group. This is what God needs today. The expression is always bigger. No man can produce this oneness. Yes, if we decide, okay, I want to be one, but it won't work. You will go there for 1 year, for 3 years, for 8 years. You might be one with 4, 5, 6, but then Brother X enters into the church life. And our oneness? What happens? Or this sister comes in here. My oneness, our oneness. No, we have to take hold of this oneness here. He wants to let us enter into this oneness. How does he bring us into this oneness? A oneness without border. With all the believers, but which is visible. If we say, yeah, we are all, if we are one with all the people, all the believers, but we don't see them, that's not a oneness. As soon as we see each other, then there is no oneness anymore. What is this? This oneness. If it is real oneness, then we come together, and God will be visible among us because he has put us together. He has knit us together and will keep us together. That brings an expression of his nature, of his being, of his justice, of his holiness. This is something wonderful. And this all will be visible in the church through his oneness. How he is. All his power and mighties.
Alles das wird sichtbar durch diese Einheit in seiner Gemeinde.
The effectiveness of his cross, the power of the resurrection will be visible. The Lord doesn't want to just spread a teaching about which we could talk nicely. No, he wants to have it visible. Therefore, we consecrate us. He needs the willingness of all of us. Everybody of us, among us, has to be willing. Otherwise, there will be no expression. But if I am willing, then there will be an expression. Here we need sanctification. Here we need more of his justice. Here we need more of his love. He wants to add that into us. If this is visible in us, then, as it says here, is that the world may know that you sent me and love them. How does he receive this visible testimony? He needs everybody of us.
Sich offenbar machen kann durch uns, da wo wir sind,
where we are in our locality, there on your locality, God wants to be visible practically in the oneness, real. Therefore, this he has prepared salvation. Oh, Lord Jesus. For this we give ourselves. And this glory,
eigentlich ist das unsere Bestimmung. Unsere hohe Berufung.
This glory is our destiny. That we want to partake in this glory. Glory is oneness. Oneness is glory. When we are one, this is a glory. Because humanly speaking, it doesn't work. Even among us Christians, it doesn't work. But in his life, in his work, in his nature, we can experience this. And then glory comes forth. Today and in future, we gain this glory, which will be our future, right? Which will be the reward in the future. And as I wrote here, there is a or here in E, we have the effect. We are being transformed into his image. I read 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. Lord Jesus, amen. I read 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17 and 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The glory and the Spirit go together. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And again, we all. Again, right? We all. With unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. How do we see his glory? Look what is written here. Beholding in the mirror the glory of the Lord. Transformed into this oneness of the Father of the Son. We will be transformed in the same image. That's what is written here. And what is this image? It is the Father and the Son in a mutual oneness. We don't imitate that. It is our part. We partake in that. Look what is written here. Into the same image, from glory to glory. We behold this glory, we gain this glory, and we multiply that glory from glory to glory. We experience a change. How? If we give ourselves a heart for this oneness, to be one among us, one with one another, we will gain more of Jesus. This is to be gained in the oneness. We make profit. I just can encourage you, give yourself for this oneness. Probably you think, well, I am completely alone in my locality. Give yourself for that oneness. He will give you some brothers next to you who will be ready to leave everything behind to take hold of this oneness with the Father and the Son. And the second part, which we read here in John 17, that for the world to know and believe, that they may know, the world may know or believe
Autorität, die Gott,
our oneness shows the authority God has. If we separate from one another, we actually just express, well, I am the head. It's my meaning, what I have to do right now. No. But if we keep this oneness, that will show the authority of the Lord. On the one hand, there will be people coming in and realizing, wow, what is this about? But on the other hand, there will be people who won't believe. Look at the Lord Jesus himself. When he was on the earth, he was the testimony of the Father, which was never had before. Some realized who he is. Others persecuted him. Others didn't see this glory. Today, the Lord needs the church to be visible through us. Those who were chosen from God, they will say amen to this testimony among us. I am sure the Lord would open doors, but he needs his testimony. How can he testify himself? Everything else doesn't meet this level. No matter how perfect our teaching is, he wants to express himself. You think, oh, we are so few here, we have so many problems. But look, there is also glory. Glory is nothing for the future only. It's the glory which we have received. Yes, there are a lot of problems. But they don't come from the Father. They don't come from the Lord Jesus. But they come from our old fallen nature. We will have fellowship about that. But it's feasible. It's possible. Don't be discouraged. The glory has been given to us. And tonight we stretch out, Lord, show me more about this glory. And then the last aspect, it has an effect on the creation. We come back to the beginning. We started in the creation. Our glory will liberate this fallen creation. I have mentioned here these verses in Romans 8, 19 to 22. Verse 19, it says, for the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also be set free from its slavery to corruption. Look, will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. See, when we gain this glory as sons of God, when we are one with the Father and the Son among us, this glory will liberate, set free this creation. Among you young people, you remember this movement, Friday for Future, to save the whole creation. But listen, this is not a real taking care of the creation. If you want to save the creation, then reach out to this glory we are talking about today. Gain the glory of God. Then you partake and you contribute to saving this creature. It is dependent on the oneness among us. it has a meaning, right? It's not just a title for this conference on the commandment, just be one. No, it's the desire of the heart of God to express himself, to reveal himself, to transfer people into his kingdom, because there is an authority behind that testimonies, until the whole creation will be set free from this futility. This is only an introduction to this fellowship we have in these next days. And now I transfer that to all of you to pray, to have fellowship. Praise the Lord.